Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host this week, Emily Seiberg. This week, Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes is our guest. Thanks so much for being with us. You can call in your questions for the mayor by dialing 765-496-1999. You can send an email to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org, or you can even tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. First of all, a happy new year and a happy belated birthday to you, Mayor McBarnes.
Thank you, Emily. I really appreciate that. It's hard to believe I'm 32. And when I got into this line of work, I was 23. So just flip the numbers around. But happy new year to you and greetings from Frankfurt.
It also appears that you were sworn in for your third term as mayor on your birthday.
Yeah, it was really special. I was. So having my entire family there and then just the history of it being the first third term elected mayor in the city, I take a lot of pride in that just because of all the hard work the administration and volunteers have put in. So yeah, to be sworn in on my birthday, December 30th, that was a pretty cool feeling.
So we're starting off a new year here and a new decade, and Monday was the first Frankfurt City Council meeting of this year, and you've got several new members and a new council president pro tem. So I guess my first question is, how do you ensure a smooth transition into your third term, working with that new dynamic and maybe with some people who are still learning the ropes?
I think that's a great question. I think it's a key question. I know I've learned a lot over the past 8 years. I'll be the first to admit, when I first came into office, I don't think I fully appreciated the importance of really keeping the city council in lockstep with everything that we were doing. And of course, I think as you grow in a position like this, you learn these vital lessons. And so my approach to this is always to over-communicate, and especially with new members. Now, I will say the new members that we have now that are sworn in, they've been coming to meetings now for months. They've been meeting with committees for months. They've been staying involved in what's going on in the city. So I really believe these new members really have a jump start. There's going to be some time of transition, but my goal is to over-communicate with them, fill up their email inboxes, stay open, any meeting, anytime, anything they want to talk about. And I'll tell you, I have really, really high hopes for this council. I really think that we're going to come together and gel. I think we're going to get a lot done for the people of Frankfurt over these next 4 years. That's what we're here to do. So I've got the bar set really, really high for this group because I think we just have the right talent at the right time, the right people to really move this city forward.
I noticed Frankfurt utility upgrades were discussed at the meeting on Monday, and you heard a presentation on how to possibly make some improvements and maybe save some money on electricity and trash pickups and et cetera. And I saw that you were specifically quoted on the subject of streetlights, saying you hadn't really taken you called it a hard look at city lighting to make sure there's enough for both streets and parks. To the extent that you have looked, what can you tell us about current streetlight coverage in Frankfurt?
Well, I can tell you, and I'll be the first to admit, it's been a little bit of a hodgepodge these first 8 years. We receive feedback from citizens, and if I have a citizen call me and say, "Hey, Mayor, my street's dark," what I'll do is I'll go down there after hours. I'll get our utility superintendents to go down and take a look with me. I'll also ask our police department, "Hey, what kind of crime are we seeing in that area? Are we seeing vandalism? Are we seeing burglaries?" And that's how we justify putting more streetlights up. It's been here and there. And what I'm saying through this process is, we have our house in order. So now we need to start looking at some of these things that just makes our city better and more efficient and reduces our costs. You know, how many halogen lights do we have out there as opposed to proper LED technology? Now, any new streetlights we put up are LED, but how many halogen bulbs do we have out there? So I'd like to take a comprehensive look at street lighting in the city, come up with a good plan on replacement over the coming years, and make sure that all of our parks are properly covered as well. And this all goes back to safety. This goes back to quality of life and quality of place. Our crime was reduced another 9% this past year in comparison to 2018. And I think street lighting is one fundamental thing that you can do to help deter crime even further.
Are there streets or areas or specific parks that come to mind, kind of top of mind for you when you do consider what areas might need more light? Can you think of anything specific?
In just thinking about our parks, Dorner Park, just where it sits in our city, Dorner Park has a lot of really mature trees around it. It's right along Prairie Creek. There are some areas that get pretty dark down there on Clay Street. So that's one specific area that comes to mind. Another area that comes to mind is the TPA Park. The TPA Park is a 60-acre park. Unfortunately, we do experience some vandalism at TPA Park, and I'm hoping that with proper street lighting and even looking at putting some strategic security cameras up in different areas of that park, will we see a difference there?
Would you say, what can Frankfurt's residents do to kind of streamline the process of coming to the city? For example, living on a street they think might be a little dimly lit. They don't know if they have enough streetlight coverage. How can they work with the city or approach the city to kind of make that known? What's the best process for them?
They can either call my office directly and let my assistant know, and I will get back with them if I'm not available at that time, or they can go on frankfurt-in.gov, go to the contact us section, and they can send me an email directly through that link and let me know, and I'll look into it. And, we'll have a comprehensive street lighting plan, and we might miss a couple areas, who knows, because of human error. I hope not. So I encourage citizens to continue to give us feedback, and we'll work with them to come up with the best thing possible for their neighborhood.
And then speaking of some other city services, and I know that this has been discussed on the program before, but as of, I believe, last week, normal citywide recycling is back up and running in Frankfurt in the new year. So any reports back on the readjustment back to that usual schedule during this past week?
Absolutely. It's went very well. And I'm so glad you brought that up, Emily. Just so everyone knows, we are picking up citywide recycling every Wednesday. So please put your single stream recycling out. We are not collecting glass, because many times we find that glass breaks and it contaminates the other recyclables. But I've got some numbers here to share with you, Emily. And I think this really speaks to the people of Frankfurt and their ability to communicate and listen to the messages that we're putting out on social media. And I think Annie Bacon, with her position, is doing a great job with this, with community development director. But in 2018, in our city, we had 1,319,882 pounds of recyclables. In 2019, and this is a number through the end of November, so keep in mind this doesn't include December because we're still wrapping those numbers up, but we had 1,009,195 pounds. That's not bad when you take into consideration that the majority of this past year, we were only picking up one quadrant per week. I was expecting those numbers to drop drastically in comparison to 2018. But these numbers show that the people of Frankfurt listened, the communication worked, the system worked, while we were able to hang in there and support Warners as they worked through the disaster that they faced with the fire. So I'm really proud of the people of Frankfurt, that we were still able to keep our recycling numbers really respectable this past year.
Do you think, in a way, that the increased attention on the issue of recycling in Frankfurt, simply because it kind of had to be cut back and worked with and altered because of a bad situation, might have made people even more attentive to their recycling and making sure that it got set out properly?
I think so. And, I think our partners at WBAA NPR, you guys helped us push that story out quite frequently, ran many stories on that. So sure, getting that in front of people, and, as horrible and as tragic as that situation was, I think this is a silver lining that I guarantee you more people saw those messages and were exposed to those messages. So yeah, in the long run, who knows, that could be the silver lining in this whole situation.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for tuning in this afternoon. Right now, we're talking to Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes. Remember, you can call in your questions for the mayor by dialing 765-496-1999, sending an email to ask@wbaa.org, or tweeting a question for the mayor at WBAA News on Twitter. Mayor, last month you announced the impending departure of three key city employees. I know you and I talked about that at the time. So where are you at right now in the hiring process for a new human resources director and building and zoning inspector?
So one big one, too, that we have, Emily, is our park superintendent, of course, departed. And so right now our street superintendent is overseeing both our streets department and our parks department. So I'm happy to report that we concluded interviews for our park superintendent position this past week. and we will be making an offer to an individual shortly and work out details and then hopefully make that public announcement. Our deputy chief of police will be moving into the position of chief effective March 1st as interim, and then full-time chief July 1st. In the building services department, Emily, I'm working through right now kind of restructuring that department. I think any time that when you have multiple people exit a department, you can take a step back and really look at, okay, are the job descriptions proper? Is that department really set up correctly to best serve the people of Frankfort? And just reevaluate that. And so what I'm doing there is I'm reworking a couple of those job descriptions. I've sent those on to the city council. I've asked for their feedback on those job descriptions. And then hopefully we'll come out with a better structure for that department. One thing that we've lacked in the building services department is an emphasis on planning. We have been so laser focused on building permits, commercial, residential, industrial, property maintenance, code enforcement. And we really need to have an element of planning in that department. We have our unified development ordinances that is a rewrite to our zoning codes that were last updated in the 1960s in our city. Those will be going to the city council and the plan commission here in the next couple months. And we need our building services department, once those zoning ordinances are passed, to properly enforce them. And as we have projects come into our city, make sure it's mapped out properly for the long-term good of Frankfort. And so I plan in rewriting those job descriptions to have more of an emphasis on planning, as well as supporting the key element of issuing building permits. And then my plan is to have our police department, we switched over code enforcement this past year to our police department to get them interacting more with our police officers and covering our city better from a trash and clutter standpoint. So the police will be taking over code enforcement and property maintenance initiatives as well. And our building services department will be focused on planning and permitting. And then in regards to our HR director, that is underneath our clerk treasurer, the CFO of our city. That's how our city council set that position up. So it's really our clerk treasurer that's going to have the lead on hiring a replacement for that position. And I've told her that I'm willing to work with her in any way she sees fit. And so we're just waiting on next steps there.
Do you have, and I know this can be a difficult question to answer, do you have any sense of a timeline about when some of these positions might get filled? I believe you told me that, for example, with the building position, the current person holding that position would kind of be able to weigh in and help with that process. So obviously kind of want to use that person's expertise while they're still there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to emphasize none of these positions right now, we have coverage. We have other department heads that are stepping up their efforts. So parks and streets are taken care of with our street superintendent. Our current building inspector is in that position until March 1st. So that's kind of what I have in my mind as a timeline. I plan on having an offer made, job descriptions rewritten, everything approved by the council, and a new position in that seat effective March 1st. And then I explain the process with our police department. And then our park superintendent position, I'm hoping here within the next month, we have a new park superintendent here in our city, and our street superintendent can go back to solely focusing on the streets of Frankfort. So everything's moving along, but I've told all the committees in this process, I don't want to make a hire just to make a hire to fill a position. I want to make sure it's the right person for the job that will serve the people of Frankfort well. And I'll be honest with you, I personally would not be here if it wasn't for the people around me, the family culture, the teamwork that we have here in our city. We all rely on one another. And so making these picks is very near and dear and close to my heart, and we're going to pick the right people and not rush to judgment in this situation.
So as you're talking about that kind of need to slow down, take your time, you just talked about the family atmosphere. How are you pitching people on possibly moving to Frankfort and taking these positions on? How are you attracting them to come to Frankfort?
Well, I can tell you, you know, with our park superintendent, for example, and when we interviewed individuals, we interviewed people that weren't from Frankfort that were very excited to move here. Even one actually sent me a follow-up email and said even if he did not get this position, that he was going to move his family here. And that makes me feel good. And when they make these comments, they talk about things like our downtown revitalization and crime statistics and looking at what kind of educational opportunities their kids will have. So I think to answer your question, Emily, it's really what we've been focusing on the last 8 years, and that's safety, that's infrastructure, that's an amenity infrastructure with pieces like Prairie Creek Park or our new aquatic center, or preserving the Frankfort Commons golf course, making sure our streets are paved, rebuilding sidewalks, having programs in place like grants for grads that give young people that graduate with a post-secondary accredited degree the opportunity to move back to Frankfort and receive financial assistance with a down payment on a home, closing costs on a home, or even rental assistance. It's the same mindset that we're trying to use to attract families here. And from what I've heard so far, some of those things, some of those initiatives are paying dividends.
So let's actually talk. I'm going to switch over now to some of the things that are happening downtown. So right now, for the first time, Frankfort has what a synthetic ice rink located yes. downtown next to Veterans Park. And I watched a video you posted from the rink the week before Christmas. And the rink is still there and in use. It looks like there's going to be bumper cars there, I believe, starting this evening. So first of all, can you just explain the rink to me? What was the impetus for that? How did that come together?
Well, this is a used rink. It's like you said, it's a synthetic ice skating rink. So it's actually a plastic mold, and then there's a slick surface that's put on top that's completely safe, that freezes and creates our synthetic ice skating rink. And the town of Avon had this particular rink for a very long period of time, or an organization within Avon. And we saw an opportunity as Frankfort Main Street, which is our downtown 501c3 not-for-profit, to implement this in Frankfort. You know, we've got a great heritage and history when it comes to our Christmas lights, the Festival of Lights in the TPA Park, which we raised about $32,000 in donations this past year. In comparison to 2018, we had only about $16,000 in donations. And so I think things like the synthetic ice skating rink paired with the holiday Festival of Lights, paired with Santa downtown, it's attracting more people to Frankfort. And that's really why we wanted to focus on it. We want to give people a reason to come to our city. Fun, family-friendly activities, just a low cost to come here and enjoy everything that Frankfort has to offer. And while they're here, shop in our local businesses, go to the gas station, go to our restaurants. And we believe that's working very well. And so this is actually a rink that, as you alluded to, we can do more things on than just ice skate. We're going to have bumper cars on that synthetic ice rink all weekend, and people can go to the Frankfort Facebook page and check out the times on that. And we encourage people to come down and plan a night out and have a great time. And this is something that we're going to utilize throughout the year, partner with different organizations such as the YMCA on different exercise initiatives they have to get people out and moving. And it will just be a nice amenity for the people of Frankfort.
We've talked before, too, and you also mentioned this in your video, about the people who live outside of Frankfort and how Frankfort can develop itself as a destination for those people who are not actually residents. And it sounds like and looks like, you know, we've also talked about that focus on finding Frankfort's niche thing that they do, something that's unique to you that will attract those people. Are you specifically trying to focus in on these types of holiday offerings? We've got this rink, we've got the holiday lights, things like that. Is that a direction are you starting there? Are you saying this is something we can focus more energy on because we already have some activities in that area? What are you thinking along those lines?
Well, it really came out of the conversation that we had about quality of place and amenities that WBAA and NPR helped us with at the library. If you remember that night, many people brought up the fact that we have this amazing Christmas light, holiday festival of light display at the TPA Park. And so we focused on that. We brought a kettle corn operation. We've replaced all the windows out there at the soup kitchen, the concession stand, for people to come out and enjoy not only the Festival of Lights, but have a hot bowl of soup and a sandwich. We've added the synthetic ice skating rink. We've added the Main Street Express, which is an enclosed, climate-controlled trailer that people can bring their families to and take a ride through the TPA Park and end back at the synthetic ice skating rink and see Santa and get some warm cookies. So, yes, we have focused on that. And I do think that can be one thing that Frankfort can become known for. And when I look at the amount of donations that came in the year 2019 in comparison to 2018, 32,000 in comparison to 16,000, we must be doing something right. And I can tell you that the line to get through the park this year, backed all the way down to Jackson Street along Kiger several nights. And, you know, I had a lot of people shoot me a message on Facebook and say, "Mayor, it took forever to get through the lights. Oh my goodness." And to be honest with you, I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it means that people are coming from outside of our community in, and they're experiencing Frankfort and they're spending their money here. And that's good for our small business owners. That's good for our restaurant owners. And that's what we want Frankfort to become known for. When Prairie Creek Park opens up in the downtown this spring, it's going to give us another amenity to attract people and draw people. And as you look, Emily, at how the housing market is growing around Lebanon, Anson, Lafayette, you know, Frankfort, we're underdeveloped when it comes to housing. The cost of living here is very low. It's a safe community. I really do believe we have good schools because I went through our schools. I'm personally a product of our schools. I think we can become the next great bedroom community of Indianapolis, but we have to have the amenities, and this is why we're focusing on these elements.
Let's talk about Prairie Creek Park for a minute. Like you said, you know, it should be opening this spring. I know that the opening of the park has been pushed back multiple times. It now looks like the city is saying construction should be completed by April. So what remains to be done on the park before it can be up and running?
Well, I'll tell you, in talking to our contractors, and some of these individuals have been doing electrical work, conduit work, utility work for upwards of 20 and 30 years, they said, and I quote, "This is the most difficult site they've ever worked with in terms of the conditions underneath the Earth's surface." Now, what do I mean by that? Specifically, I mean that in the past 200 years, development that's happened in the downtown, the standards have been so laxed that whenever a building has been demolished, whenever a foundation has been demolished, literally they opened up the earth, they shoved everything in a hole, and they covered it up. So now we're dealt to deal with that. And I'm happy to report that we're finally about out of the soil. And if you drive down Washington Street, you can see what I'm talking about. The park is really, really coming together. So what is there left to do? Right now, people will see the stage going up. Steel has been erected. They'll see the splash pad being finished. They'll see the indoor event center being finished in our beer garden area starting to take shape. We also have multiple 20-plus foot sound and light towers that are going to be coming in. They'll see the green room being finished. And then in March, we'll do all of the planting, our shrubbery, our trees, our flowers, and we'll get our sod down. And once all that happens, that's why we feel really confident in saying that the middle part of April, we'll have a fully functional park, and we're planning our first big concert and the grand ribbon cutting on May 16th of this year. It's a Saturday. So I asked people to mark their calendars. We're going to be coming out with some exciting announcements as to who those entertainers will be. We're still working through those agreements and contracts, but it's going to be a great day for the city and really a reason for you to pack up your car and come to Frankfort and see all that we have to offer.
So Community Development Director Annie Bacon, who you mentioned earlier, has told me before that part of her charge from you when she was brought on was to specifically create programming for Prairie Creek Park. I know last fall's Hispanic Heritage Festival was supposed to be there. You know, a park is, you know, that's kind of an outdoor space. We're mm-hmm. talking about this ice rink. I'm thinking about, you know, downtown spaces that seem somewhat seasonal in nature. How do you keep people downtown all year round, going to the shops and participating in activities down there that aren't necessarily linked to one of these spaces?
Well, I think a diversity of events. You know, we have to understand that not everyone is a country music fan, not everyone is a rock and roll fan. So we're planning currently many an a la carte menu of many different events at Prairie Creek Park. So for example, we're going to have movies going on at Prairie Creek Park that are going to be projected on a green screen on the stage, so people can just bring a picnic lunch on a warm Friday night in July and see a movie. We're planning a circus night at Prairie Creek Park, so we'll have acrobatics and magic. We'll also have culinary events at Prairie Creek Park. We're going to partner with caterers in our communities, such as Shoop's Country Foods. So we plan on having really a diversity of events that speaks to everyone, and also then work with local groups. Of course, we'll have a lot of music and space that out throughout the summer and into the fall. And then we'll pivot to our Holiday Festival of Lights and have many activities wrapped around it. So it's a space. We want it to be unlocked, and we want it to be turnkey 365 days a year and give people a reason to come to this space and enjoy entertainment, enjoy recreation, and not only come closer to their family members, but come closer to this community and really understand what Frankfurt's all about.
And have conversations happened thus far? Again, acknowledging the park is not yet open. You're describing a lot of different events. They're different from each other. What has been done so far to kind of start reaching out to the what sounds like kind of a small army of people that's going to have to implement this programming and make it happen?
We've already had several meetings. Frankfurt Main Street is going to be a great partner in helping the programming at Prairie Creek Park. I've had several meetings with our community development director, Annie Bacon, the president of our redevelopment commission, Joe Palmer. And so we already have a tentative calendar lined out with acts that we want to reach out to, different genres, different activities that we want to have come in. And really, as soon as we get agreements nailed down with the different entertainers and with the different events we want to bring here, we're going to lay out a calendar so people know exactly what's going to be happening at Prairie Creek Park. We plan on the park having its own Facebook page so people can go right to that and understand what's going on. And then we'll have a platform for people to rent the various spaces within the park. Keep in mind that the event center, we're going to have enclosed rooms. So if someone wants to have a birthday party or a retirement party, or even a wedding reception there and get married on the stage. All of these things will be open to the public. It's their park, they built it, and we want it to be a place that adds to the vibrancy of Frankfurt and really makes it special.
Do you anticipate hiring any new possible city employees to deal with the influx of programming?
I can see perhaps looking at hiring a parks matron in the future. That's something, though, that would really have to be evaluated by the city council and then look at what kind of revenue that the park is bringing into the community. We're going to have concession sales going on at the park. We'll obviously have revenue from the rental of event space. And then on a very small occasion, this won't be the norm, but on a small occasion, we could have a situation where we might charge $3 to $5 for a concert ticket. That won't be all the time. That will be the exception to the rule. But what I'm saying is I think that, you know, when we understand what kind of revenue that this is going to bring back to the city, we might be able to make a case to hire a park matron that could be more hands-on with the park day to day. And this might be something, it might morph into its own programming position to help Annie Bacon in these efforts, because it's going to be a huge job, no doubt about it.
My final question for this week's show, since it's a new year, do you have a New Year's resolution for Frankfurt? What's your big goal for the city this year? Your third term, it's January. What are you thinking about for 2020?
Improve housing, our existing housing, improving our existing housing stock and attracting more housing opportunities to Frankfurt. We need more solid market rate, middle class housing in our community. And there's been decades of mismanagement. There just has. Our existing housing stock needs improvement, and that's what I'm going to focus on, Emily. I appreciate the opportunity today.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Mayor McBarnes. That is our time. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Crawfordsville. Send us your questions at ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. You can tweet us questions for all four mayors at WBAA News on Twitter. Thanks again for listening today, and have a great rest of the afternoon.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.